Spark Studios, Session 1, Episode 5. Mike Hongslow, everybody. Oh my gosh, it's so good to have him.
My pleasure to be here, Mark, let me tell you.
So Mike and I met in 2012, so that's what the theme or the year that we're going to discuss, at least as a jumping off point.
Yep.
And it's like going back, thinking about music, thinking about the memories, and thinking about what's going on in our world and how to get through it. And I think it really comes down to putting on one of these records. And by the way, what a great choice of a record,
my
friend.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much.
So yeah. Let's talk about it.
Sam Cooke, right? Live at the Harlem Square. Sam Cooke. That's what I've been listening to a lot lately. I told Mark.
No lie. Can't make it up. I would pay to have Sam Cooke sing the phone book, sing anything.
Yeah.
Greatest soul voice. He is pure soul. He's the best.
Yeah, he is. There's not a whole lot to say that has not been already said about Sam Cooke. I wanted to bring this record in particular because after I heard Sam perform these songs live, I have a difficult time now listening to the studio version, actually. The studio versions are great, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But the way that he performs these live, there are better singers than him. There are better musicians than him. There are probably better songwriters than him that existed at that time period. But there is absolutely nobody that put that level of energy and soul and passion to their performances. I actually love listening to that. I play in a band called Bourbon Creek. I think if
yes.
I'm going to plug my band real quick.
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Bourbon Creek, we're on the Facebook and Instagram. Anyway, I love listening to this album actually before we play shows because the way Sam performs, it's like he's an audience member almost. He's just in the zone and you can tell that there's no place he would rather be than on stage doing what he's doing with his band. His band is amazing, but it's that passion he performs with that I get that from him that I do not get from, I don't think, anybody else. And soul music is one of my favorite genres. 60s, 70s soul music is absolutely one of my favorite genres of music. And to me, this is as good as the genre gets. Again, not because he's the best musician of all time, not because he's the greatest singer of all time, even though he is a great singer, but because nobody brings that passion and energy to their performances like Sam does. I couldn't even imagine what it must be like to be at that show and to experience that in person. Must have been absolutely unbelievable. I couldn't imagine it from his perspective as well and the band's perspective, and you could just feel the energy, you know, in that record. And it's just unbelievable. It's just, I could talk about it all day. I don't know if you can tell, but
absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So we're going to give it a spin, and you guys can have a nice listen to this jam. I think it's a little medley between It's All Right.
Yep, that's right. It's All Right and I Love You for Sentimental Reasons. Yep.
Whenever they tell you anything about your little girl, if she's sleeping, shake her and wake her up.
And you can see, this is exactly what I mean. He talks to the audience during the performance. You know, he gives them these call and response things. And he breaks beautifully into that.
It's all right. Believe me, baby, it's all right. Long as I know, honey, long as I know that you love me.
It's just beautiful.
It's all right.
It's beautiful. It's so soulful. So much energy.
You, baby, but it's all right. Yeah. It's all right. It's all right. Believe me when I say it's all right. Long as I know, long as I know that you love me. Believe me, it's all right.
And then here's what you gotta tell her, tell her. Now all my friends tell me that you found somebody new. And oh, they report to me every little thing that you do. But long as you tell me that it's all untrue, I believe that it's all right. Tell her I don't care what they say, baby, it's all right. Believe me, baby, everything's alright. Long as I know, honey, long as I know that you love me. Believe me, it's alright. And if you really want to put the clincher on it, tell her this, tell her. If you ever need me, baby, if you're all alone, remember, darling, I'm as near as your cell phone. And oh, if you need me, honey, all you gotta do is call me. Just try me, it's alright.
Unbelievable. Incredible record, Sam Cooke, live at the Harlem Square Club. It's just amazing. We're discussing this. We're discussing soul. We're talking about just what moves us. What's the name of the band again? Bourbon Creek?
That's right, Bourbon Creek.
Where'd that name come from?
So, well, to be honest, we needed a name, and I wasn't going to name it. I don't know how to name stuff. So I had no intentions of naming it. My friend, we were thinking, you know, we're a country band, and we play at bars, you know, and we're going to be playing for people while they're drinking and that kind of thing. And so we're kind of thinking of a name that's going to be kind of country-themed. We thought, like, drinks, you know, kind of make sense. Bourbon, you know, okay, that works. And then someone said Bourbon Creek. Well, kind of rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
I'd like to lie and say there's some kind of great story behind that name. Yeah. There's really not, but we like the name. I got used to the name. I think it's a good name.
So it's a three-piece, four-piece?
It is a five-piece, actually.
Five-piece.
Yep.
Whoa,
so, yep.
And you just played a show to bring it to 2021. I'm encouraged to hear. Maybe you've got something coming up that we can maybe find out.
Yeah.
Because now that things are open.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I reached out to Floyd's in Victoria.
Yeah.
Awesome live music bar for anyone that hasn't been there. They reached out back on Saturday morning. They said, hey, come on over today. We'll make it happen tonight. And they did, and we got to play at Floyd's, which is my hometown bar, kind of. I'm from Chaska. Victoria's
nice.
Right next to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've wanted to play there for a while. We got the chance to play there. It went awesome. We're definitely going to be back there at Floyd's in Victoria. We have an event coming up February 27th at Shuggy's. That's out in Hammond, Wisconsin. Other than that, we will definitely be regulars over there at the Poorhouse, which is a great place to play. Awesome place to play. We're so lucky to be in there. And yeah, I'm sure we'll be back at Floyd's and other places around. So I'm really passionate about this band. Everybody in this group is just so talented. And the best thing about this group is we have five people that are just on the same page. There's no arguing or bickering when we rehearse. That's rare. I don't know what you know about bands. That's rare. normally, because there is so much room for conflict within a band.
Of course.
Yeah, and we don't deal with that. And it's actually extremely refreshing. It's like we show up, we just have fun. And every time I'm playing with these guys, they bring out the best in me. I like to think I bring out the best in them as well. It's just a great relationship. I'm super lucky to play with these guys.
That's cool. That's so cool. You know, yes, you know, have I worked with bands? Yes. In fact, episode 2 is in great detail going back in time to 2005 when I worked with an event called See You at the Party up in Alexandria, Minnesota. And we did as many bands as you could count, 10, 12, 15, 20 bands packed into an all-night lock-in in a middle school on New Year's Eve.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, so we did this huge thing. And so I've also been a stage manager at Sunshine Music Festival. It used to be in Wilmer, Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, I know Sunshine, yeah.
So, yeah, so I've got that history with there, but how we met in 2012, just to recount how Mike and I met. So I had been a DJ for quite a few years, and in 2010, we had our third child, and then in 2011, I was starting to realize, like, I don't know if I want to be gone every Friday, Saturday of my life.
Sure.
Seeing my next kid grow up.
Yep.
So then I found a buyer for my DJ business who's actually still running it. His name is Noah Pearson. He runs Beautiful Day DJs. Sold it in 2011, wanted to retire. And then in 2012, had this other real full-time job, and I didn't really like it, but you know, this is where I was.
Yeah.
And then I quit the job and then was kind of needing different work. And so summer of 12, I reached out to a friend, Adam Wells, who had worked on this See at the Party event and had done DJing and lighting and all this jazz. And so he said, yeah, you should call Andrew Tolsman and Matt Rush. They might need some help. So I called sometime in June of 2012, and he said, yeah, we totally need you. It would be great. Come on in, you know, or whatever. Here's this training night. So come into this training, and there's three or four other guys. I forget the other guys that were in there. But I'll never forget Mike and his passion. When you talk about passion and just a good dude and thanks. Just like driven.
Thank you.
I saw him and I was like, I don't know you from Adam. I don't know anything about you, but you're going to go far. I remember telling you, I was like, you're going to crush it. And guess what he does now, man? He's the head honcho operations director at the company.
That's right. Yeah. So I do remember you saying that, Mark. And I do. It was, I think, our first or second day of training. It's so funny because I remember being in that training so well. I remember, you know, it was Matt Rush. You know, yes. Shout out to Matt Rush and Andrew Tolsman, two awesome guys that I haven't chatted with either one of them in a while. So I hope they're listening to this. I want to say what's up, and we should get together soon. But I remember that training, and I remember you came up and you said, "I can tell that you got this. I can tell." And I was thinking, this guy's been DJing for quite a few years, and he's saying this to me. I'm like, what does he see in me? I didn't even know what I did to get that, but I loved it. It was really nice. And then, sure enough, as soon as I started DJing, I started getting into it. I started to really develop a passion for it because it's not just the fact that I'm working with music and I'm working with people. It's somebody's wedding day. It's like an incredible opportunity to create these memories. You know, every time you go to work, you have the opportunity to create memories that will last forever for somebody.
Absolutely.
And there just aren't many jobs like that. And I was lucky enough to find a job like that. And once I found it and I started doing it, I didn't want to let it go. And I just wanted to keep doing it. And that's really what I did. And I was very passionate about it. And I still am. And it's funny, now I'm leading those trainings and I find myself still saying a lot of the same things that Matt Rush, who led the training back when I trained in 2012, I find myself saying a lot of the same things that he did. You know, technology changes, people change, you know, but those things that are really rooted in being a great wedding DJ, things like great customer service, knowing how to work with the venue, being prepared ahead of time, you know, those types of things don't change, you know.
They
don't change with time. They're there and they're always going to be there. And those are the things I really believe in more than anything, are those elements of service, understanding, empathizing with the bride and groom, you know, being on their side. There's a lot to learn, but the things I really try to teach are those things that are really at the roots.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, music's important, don't get me wrong, but music's, as you know, Mark, very far from the only thing that makes you a great wedding DJ.
Absolutely. Yeah,
if that's the only thing you're good with is music, you're going to fail at the job very miserably. So I really try to emphasize that, but I remember that, Mark. I remember when we met, and I remember you saying that, and I was very very happy to hear you say that. I was a little confused and shocked, but I loved it. So.
Well, you were driven, and you were listening, and you were intent, and I just remember you had a boundless energy, and to me, that's what it takes. You have to have the drive and the energy because it's a hard job.
It is, as much as it,
you know, it looks like press play. That's one kind of DJ, and there's obviously people that do it that way.
Yeah.
But that's just not how I ever roll. That's just like, it's so many relationships all coalescing together.
Absolutely.
And you don't want to screw this up. You start at those memories that you know that, well, when I got married 20 years ago, it's like, I want this to be perfect. I want this to be to go off and it be a wonderful memories for my guests.
Exactly.
And how does that come about? It doesn't come about by osmosis. Yep. There has to be intention, there has to be planning, and there has to be everybody on the same page. And
and
to be a team player, as you've learned with your band.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to just listen. We could go on and on.
We can, and I think the last thing I'll say is the things that I've learned from this job, and I'm sure you can relate to this, Mark, are not things that I just use on Saturday and Friday when I'm DJing.
Right.
They're things I use every single... I'm using those skills, in fact, right now. As I'm doing this podcast, yes. I would not be able to do this. I would not be able to sit and chat with you on a microphone like this if I had not had that experience DJing, you know, hundreds and hundreds of weddings, having that MC experience, that public speaking experience.
Right.
That's what makes this even possible. There's so much that I've learned from that I use every day in my life.